This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Oh my Lord, since it seems you are determined to save me, I ask that you may do so quickly. And since you have decided to dwell within me, I ask that you clean your house, wiping away all the grime of sin. Amen. Prayer I just shared with you is attributed to one of the mystic saints of our church, by the name of St. Teresa of Avila. She lived in the 1500s and had a real gift for being able to capture her faith life on paper in a way that comes down as a bit humorous, even sometimes a bit twisted, but gets to the heart of the matter about our lives, the big picture issues. God, if you're determined you're going to save me, let's do it now. God, if you're going to make your home within my heart, well, come and clean up this house. She gets at the big picture issues, which is what Matthew's chapter that we're dealing with is all about. If you remember last week, we had the first story connected with this one that talks about when there is conflict, when we are offended or hurt by someone within the Christian community. And Matthew plotted out for us the process that is to be followed, always keeping the big picture in mind. The big picture that we want everyone in the fold, that we want everyone to have the fullness of what God has given to us. And so our motivation for seeking that reconciliation is not to get even. Our reconciliation is to bring that person into the fold so that they can share in the fullness as well. So it's important that there is that process. That process is in place, that there are repercussions for our actions, that when we hurt the body, there does need to be something that is done. But then there's part two, which is what we hear today. The story of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an easy thing. Forgiveness is not a measure or a scorecard either. And that is what Jesus gets at with Peter today. In the Old Testament, in the book of Amos, it talks about the fact that three times you can be forgiven, and on the fourth time, even God is going to get you. So here we have Peter, not only the three times that they would have known about, now he doubles that to six, adds another one in for good measure, and comes up with seven. The perfect number, huh? Even in this day and age, 7-11. Seven times, Lord. Isn't that enough? And Peter's expecting an attaboy from Jesus. You're right, Peter, that is so Christian of you, so to speak, to want to forgive seven times. But he doesn't get that answer, does he? Jesus says 77 times. Or, in other translation, 70 times seven times. The point Jesus makes is this. Forgiveness is unending. We can never stop being forgiving people. Now that's a hard thing. It's not easy. In the first reading that was assigned for today that you'll find in the bulletin to take home, it's from Genesis chapter 50. It talks about when the father of Joseph in the Old Testament dies, Jacob, and the reading starts realizing that their father was dead. The other 11 brothers, remember all they've been through with Joseph, now the father, Jacob, dies, and they're wondering, is Joseph really going to be out to get us now? They're thinking that maybe Joseph was just being forgiving of what we did to him, trying to kill him, throwing him down the sewer. Maybe he was just being good to us because Dad was still alive. Well, now that Dad's gone, maybe he's really going to be out for us. Now, understand that this happens after Joseph has had a tearful forgiveness with them several chapters back. There was a huge famine that came into the land, and Joseph brought his brothers and their families to spare them. He even saves the whole country for 5 years with his shrewd management of the crops that they had put into their barns. And now after all of that, Dad dies and they're thinking Joseph now is going to get him. And Joseph again reassures them, you are forgiven. Now go and do the same. Now, bring that into the gospel that we just heard. Here is a man, a parable of a man, that owes the biggest amount of money that you could owe somebody. If you look into the original language in which this is written, Matthew takes the biggest amount of currency that existed in those days and multiplies it by the biggest number that they had in the Greek language. Scripture scholars, some of them tell us that if we were to equate that into today's wages, the man would owe what a normal daily wage earner would get. He would have to give 200,000 years worth of his salary to pay off the debt. In other words, it ain't gonna happen. And yet the man is forgiven that debt. And then he can't go and forgive the debt of 100 denarii that somebody else owes him. Well, it's understandable that the man would be upset to forgive the debt. Going back to the big picture, it becomes important for us with forgiveness to keep in mind what God has done for us. And the big picture motivation is the mercy and grace that God has poured into all of our hearts is meant for us to pass on to others. But there's another aspect of forgiveness I want us to emphasize today. And to help you to understand this aspect, I want to tell you something I read in the last couple of weeks that has to do with the missionaries who went to Africa, to one of the countries for the first time, and were trying to translate the Bible into those people's native language. When they came to the words in the Bible and the concepts of redemption and forgiveness, their language didn't have a word for that. And so they came up with a word that was literally in their language, get your head out. And the missionaries quizzically asked, why do you say that? What would that mean? It referred for them to somebody who was imprisoned or a slave who was being set free, and they would have an iron shackle across their neck. And when they would get their head out, meaning out of the shackle, they would be set free. What a vivid image that is of forgiveness, a vivid image of getting our head and our heart out. The concept of forgiveness I want to bring out today that was in some of those quotes we had as the service started, it gets our head out when we are able to forgive another person. Because as long as we can't forgive that person, in some real sense, I am shackled. I can't become all that I'm supposed to be unless I can forgive and move on. In this sense, it's about me. And so that aspect of forgiveness that is important that Jesus is talking about, why must we forgive? Well, one of the reasons is we can't get on with our own lives until we do that. It's not easy. I know in my own life, some of the simple things that people have done or not done to me, not met my expectations, and I find it hard to forgive. Sometimes I need to step back and look at what it has done for other people. Look at what Joseph, being able to forgive his brothers, did for him and for that entire nation. Look what Jesus' forgiveness did for us. And we can bring it up into our own day and age. There are some incredible stories of forgiveness that are out there of people who deserved to be vengeful, who deserved to crawl up into a cocoon because of what had happened to them, but they chose to forgive. And they have made a difference not only in their lives, but in the lives of others as a result. Let's look at a video that talks about some of these people of our own day and age.
Once chairman of South Africa's Truth and Reconciliation Committee.
Some of the things people have tried to do to my family are close to what I consider unforgivable. Remaining in that state locks you in a state of victimhood, making you almost dependent on the perpetrator.
Jo Berry is the daughter of Sir Anthony Berry MP, killed in the Brighton bombing at the 1984 Tory Party conference.
I felt as if a part of me died in that bomb, but I've realised that no matter which side of the conflict you're on, had we all lived each other's lives, we could all have done what the other did.
16 years later, Jo met the IRA activist responsible for her father's death, Pat McGee.
She's come a long way in her journey to understanding. In fact, she's come more than halfway to meet me. That's a very humbling experience.
An opponent of apartheid, Father Michael Latsley, was a target of the South African government.
3 months after Nelson Mandela's release from prison, I received a letter bomb. In the bomb blast, I lost both hands, one eye, and had my eardrums shattered. No one was charged with this crime. I haven't forgiven anyone because I have no one to forgive.
Marion Partington's younger sister Lucy was abducted, raped, tortured, murdered, beheaded and dismembered. Her body found 20 years later at the home of Fred and Rosemary West.
Forgiveness began with murderous rage. Until then I hadn't thought of myself as a murderous person, but at that moment I was capable of killing. In other words, I was not separate from the Wests. I once met another mother whose daughter had been murdered. She gave me a phrase that I now have pinned to my door. Forgiveness means giving up all hope of a better past.
Boxer Michael Watson fought Chris Eubank for the World Championship. He collapsed and was in a coma for 40 days, and a blood clot left him partially paralysed.
After the accident, it took me a long time to face up to reality. If I had animosity about what Chris had done to me, I'd be breaking myself down mentally as well as physically. How could I then move on?
Berta Klimbier's 7-year-old daughter was tortured and killed by a relative.
Victoria was very, very precious to us. From the very first day we heard about the death of Victoria, we began praying that one day we will be able to forgive. To be locked into a fixed attitude of retribution is to kill a child twice. You extinguish the very spirit and memory of your child.
Andrew Rice lost his elder brother David on September the 11th, 2001, when the World Trade Center fell.
A group called Murder Victims Families for Reconciliation were contacted by the mother of the alleged 20th hijacker, Zacharias Massawi. She wanted to meet some of the families of the victims and ask for their forgiveness. As we waited in a private university building, a mother whose son was killed in the World Trade Center went down the hall to meet her. We heard footsteps, then silence. Then we heard this sobbing. Finally, they both came into the room, both mothers with their arms around each other. By now, we were all crying. One day, I'd like to meet Zacharias Massawi. I'd like to say to him, you can hate me and my brother as much as you like, but I want you to know that I loved your mother and I comforted her when she was crying.
Sometimes people make mistakes. We don't always say what we mean. We hold on to pride instead of learning from and then putting the past aside. Forgiveness is a hard word. Maybe the hardest word. But it's a hard road that one day brings you home.
To give up all hope of a better past, but to gain the hope of getting our head out, becoming all that God would have us be, and in so doing, taking a share in the love, mercy, and forgiveness that God extends to all. May we choose to be like that. Let's take that time.